Brother Bob there, and then followed by Brother Wilson.
I'll tell you, it's really nice to be here, to see you all. I'm from Miami, Florida. We're in Massachusetts, the family from Canada. But I've been in Florida for 43 years now. Raised in Massachusetts. If I'm not speaking loud enough, just raise your hand, because in July I had a tumor removed from my throat. And every once in a while it gets a little hoarse, so if you don't hear me, just speak out and say, "Hey, Bob, a little louder, please." I try to get my dear brother Wilson to go first, because he's a senior and certainly a lot more to say than I have, but he wouldn't have it, so I have to bow to my older brother. And I count it a real joy and privilege to be here with him. This is called by Uncle Sam, as he did so many of us in World War II, and the Lord was really gracious in the service. I ended up in the chaplain's corps, came out of that, and then decided to go back to school, to college, and they told me in Massachusetts at Northeastern University that I'd have to go back and take a refresher course in high school. So I went to Massachusetts and they said you'd have to take a year. And I didn't feel like going a whole year of what I'd already had. Enough of that. So I was up at Camp Berea as a lifeguard up there in New Hampshire, an assembly camp up there. And the folks from Florida were there, several of them, and they told me, "Well, Bob, in Florida, all you have to do is 6 months." So I came down to Florida, and at that time, the schools in Florida were not that academically advanced, shall I say. So I got down there, and after 3 months, they told me, "Just go ahead and take the exam and get out of here. You're wasting our time and yours." So I took the thing, and they gave me the 6 months credit, and I went on to college. And associated with assembly down there, I ran into this real pretty girl called Betty. And she got me chasing and stopped real quick one day, and that was the end of the trail. And so we've been married for 38 years now, and God in His marvelous grace has given us 4 wonderful sons. One of them was taken home to be with the Lord 11 years ago at 18 years of age. But the Lord's hand was in that. We thank God for His grace to us. Brian was 18 years and 3 months, just graduated, working as a mechanic. And I was out in Texas in my dear brother's state there. We used to have a meeting, and I got a call that Brian had just gone to be with the Lord. Pardon me. It still hurts. Well, I came home, and Brother David Adams and Ray Zander and my brother Miles had the funeral, who was also a full-time worker. And there were several people saved. I had the joy of leading the young man that took Brian's place at the garage where he was a mechanic. I had the joy of leading him to the Lord. And he's gone on for 11 years now, well for the Lord, married a Christian girl, and he's still going on. And the young man that was out here that several know here, Henry, his wife Lisa, was led to the Lord by my brother Miles at the casket at the same time, and she's gone on well for the Lord. And so, and there were 4 others that professed to be saved who I could not follow up, but the Lord was good. In death there was resurrection, and we thank God for that. And he did leave a wonderful testimony, a testimony that we didn't even realize he had, and we thank God for that. And then the Lord, I was at the telephone company, repair supervisor, and a brethren came to me 15 years ago, and he said, "Bob, we feel that you should be out in full-time work. You're going night and day. Now you ought to just be doing it full-time." Well, I'm a little bit of a faithless character, I guess, at times, and I was so afraid. My wife and I, in the meantime, had been praying about this and had told no one. And I felt that it was really the Lord's mind, but still I was afraid I might be doing something in the flesh, and I dreaded that. I didn't want to do something that was pleasing for me. So I went along, and the Lord was really working me over. I was miserable. So finally I got down one night, and I made a big mistake. I gave the Lord an ultimatum. Beloved, don't ever do that. You've probably learned that long before I did. I'm only 60 years old. I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I gotta have an answer the next day. I can't take this anymore." Well, that should have told me I wasn't in the right place, because when we're in the right place, beloved, we have the peace of God that passes understanding. And by this time, I'd already had four heart attacks, and they'd lost me once. And the next day, I went in and saw that all the men were out, and the 12 women that worked for me were off on their day's work. And when I went in at 6, I felt fine. By 8, I felt terrible. I couldn't tell you how bad I felt. So I called my boss and told him I'd turn my activities over to one of the foremen and assigned him that responsibility for the day at least, and he could take care of it from there in any case. So I'm down to see the call the doctor, and we're down to see the doctor, and he took one look at me, put me on the table, and he says, "Don't blink your eyes." And he took my blood pressure, and he had a doctor here, so I guess you appreciate this more than I. My blood pressure was 210 over 190. And he says, "You haven't any right to be alive. I'm calling an ambulance." But I said, "Well, I drove 18 miles. I'll drive 3 blocks more and forget it." So I drove over there, and they were waiting for me and rushed me upstairs. And he told me, he says, "Well, in about 4 days, you should have your blood pressure down. You'll be able to go home, but no work." Because I'd always gone back to work in 2 or 3 months. They tell me to take off a year, but I'm a workaholic. I mean. So I went in the hospital, and I can remember as if it happened yesterday. I looked up, and I said, "Lord, if I got to stay here more than 4 days, I'll go out of my mind." Because I had enough of that intensive care stuff and that already. And I'd never been in a hospital before until I had the heart attack. So 31 days later, and 6 falls later, and 5 heart attacks later, and 4 heart stops later, I got out. And the Lord answered my prayer. I said, "I have an answer," the next day, and he gave it to me. When I came home, I was home about 2 months, and the company called, and they said, "Bob, we're going to come out to see you, or you can come down to the office." So I'm down to the office, and they said, "Well, Bob, it's been nice having you around the last 28 years, but we'll see you." Goodbye. So the Lord shut the door. He gave me a very clear, precise, specific answer. I'm so glad he did. I'm so glad. Oh, it's good to know this is what the Lord has done. This is what the Lord has for you. And there's no backing out of it because you don't have anything to do with it. I am closing that door. I've already opened the other door. Now get out and get going. You know, beloved, I haven't had. I've had a couple of seizures, but I haven't had a heart attack since. Of course, I was on 24-hour calls 7 days a week with a beeper, with a radio, and a telephone. I couldn't get away from it. And some days worked right around the clock. And you don't appreciate what telephone people go through. Well, let me tell you, I don't know if you remember when the L-1011, the Eastern L-1011, the first one they had, went down in the Everglades out there. I was out there to set up communications, and I never got home for 3 days and 3 nights. I slept in the car. It was a mess. And we had to get telecommunications, radio communications of all kinds. So you may think the telephone people are standing around wasting time, but believe me, there's a lot of things you don't see. They're down in those manholes, and the water is creeping up, and the cable's going to go, and they're sweating because you're going to lose your home. And they stay in it. So do appreciate it. They earn it. They really do. They work long, hard hours. I just passed that along so you won't think they're a bunch of bogus. But I know they look like it. You go by the road, and there's 3 of them standing there, but there's a purpose for them standing there. They're waiting for something to make things better before they die, as it is in many work. But the Lord has been gracious. I've labored primarily in the South Florida area. I go up to Canada, Eastern Canada, in the Maritimes. The New England area, I labor there quite a bit. I go north when the wintertime comes and the Spirit leads the other preachers south. I pass them on the way. The Lord's been gracious. He's really blessed us. And our assembly has grown. We've seen, in the last 3 years, the Lord has given us, I couldn't give you the exact count, but roughly 20 couples. Right out of the world. I mean, and in Miami, when you say right out of the world, I mean out of the world. Some of them are dope peddlers. Some of them were, well, all of them were on dope. Even the women, mothers, to some degree. And to see these lives just turned around, and to see them on fire for the Lord, says your heart's good. It really does. So the Lord's blessed. Our Sunday school has, and I don't have a Sunday school, my son has grown to where we have to build another building. The Friday night work, I talked to my son the other night, and they had 55 on it. It was the first night of the New Year, so they closed it down during the summer. Last year it was up to 155 young people every Friday night, and most of them from unsaved homes. And we thank the Lord for that. A lot of them have been saved. Some of their parents have been reached. It gives us an open door to get into their homes and visit them. And the Lord has been very, very gracious to us in that. We do covet your prayers and appreciate your prayers. When I leave here, I'll be going to Rhode Island for 2 weeks of meetings, gospel meetings, and on up the Maine for 4 weeks of meetings up there in two different assemblies. And then I have to get back home before the wife locks the door and throws the key away. My dear wife works in the school as cafeteria cashier, so she keeps saying she doesn't like to travel with me. She can't keep up. I'm married to a grandmother, you know how it is. She can't keep up with me. We have 9 grandchildren. Our oldest granddaughter is now in Emmaus Bible school this year. So we thank the Lord for that. The children are old enough to know, have professed faith in the Lord Jesus, and we thank God for that. The boys are all involved in the assembly. Their wives are involved in the assembly. And so we have an awful lot to thank the Lord for. And I'm going to speak the Lord willing on the 23rd Psalm, but after our brother gave out that hymn, I just got to read the last verses, the 23rd Psalm to you, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Wilson. The last verses you all know is surely, surely, or only, as the Newberry tells us it is in the original, only goodness and loving kindness shall follow me all the days of my life. And the result of that is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And beloved, I think we can pray to that. Amen. He's a merciful, gracious, wonderful Lord. And here we prove it tonight. And believe me, I don't know if there's anyone here, because I don't know any of you hardly. But if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I plead with you. I beg you, before you leave here tonight, because tomorrow may not come, close in with the offer of mercy that the Lord Jesus offers you. He died for you. You think of that. He took your place in death. He took your place to pay the debt of sin that no one could pay. He gave his life for us, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And beloved, I can tell you this from experience. Having had my heart stop 5 times, there is absolute, total, abiding peace, even when you know you're gone. The fact of the matter is, you're looking forward to it. In 1960, I had an ulcer, and it got so infected they couldn't get the barium down through my upper stomach. And they thought I had cancer. They didn't tell me that. And the way I found out, I went down one day to x-ray, and they were trying to take the x-rays. And I saw a poor old gentleman in there on the stretcher, and he looked like death warmed over. And I said to the little girl, the technician, I said, who's the gentleman in there? And she says, I said, what's his name? I'd like to hear him talk to him. She says, oh, his name is Mr. Beard. I said, oh, that's interesting. I said, what's the matter? And she says, oh, he's only got about 4 weeks to live. Thank you. Well, you talk about being shook. I was shook. You know, I had to tell the Lord all about it. Lord, don't you understand? I got 4 young children at home and I got a wife at home. What are you doing? You know, I really went around with the Lord. But anyway, I went in and talked to the old gentleman. And then everybody left and I was still there. And the little girl said to me, she says, the guy came down to get me to roll me upstairs in a wheelchair. She says, I can't find your record. She says, they took the wrong record. Mr. Beard's record did it. I said, that's okay, dear, mine. And poor little thing, I thought she was going to die. She said, oh, no. I am going for my examination today as a technician. I'll be thrown out of the hospital. You're not supposed to tell a patient anything. I said, well, I'm most happy you told me. I was cool on the outside, but believe me, I wasn't cool on the inside. And I went upstairs on that 4th floor, and I got in that bed, and boy, the Lord and I really went around there. You know what the Lord did? The firmament declares the glory of God. Right there on Biscayne Boulevard, looked out on Biscayne Bay, beautiful bay, looked out there, and in a matter of minutes, brother, the clouds were so heavy, they looked like they were going to touch the light. Black. Right down. And the sea, the bay got rough and boisterous and white. Happened. I thought, oh, I almost said it out loud. Lord, if that isn't a picture of my life, I don't know what it is. You know what the Lord did? It was great. The Lord of heaven took And he opened up the clouds in one little spot. And he let the light shine through. That little hole in those black, black, black clouds. And you know what they shone? Right on my dad. Right on me. And you know what I thought of? Oh, Peter. You faithless thing. You stepped out and you walked, but you lost your faith in the Lord. And boy, the Lord hit me right between the eyes. And right there and then I said, Lord, you're in control. Whatever you want. And you know what happened? Yeah. In less than 2 minutes, the cloud was gone. The bay was like glass. There wasn't a white cap in sight, and I could see as far as I could see. I didn't pin it. The Lord moved the heavens and speak to a faithless child. Oh, he's gracious, beloved. He is wonderful. He loves us so much, he'll even move the clouds. And he'll make the sea behave as well. He's talking and teaching. And you're wavering and moving. What a precious God we have. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord.